Welcome to Ozark's Haints and Hooch.
This ain't no fancy, academic,
check your references kind of deal.
We are two sisters from the Ozarks,
sipping and spewing about Haints, Hooch, and history.
Welcome to Ozark's Haints and Hooch. This is Dina, and I'm here with Dawn.
Hi.
Hello.
And she's sitting in a on a milk crate with a card table because she's selling all her furniture.
I am. I'm actually, I told Dina, I look like the computer's on the floor looking up my nose because I sold my desk. And so now I have a card table and I told her that I look like a single man home because I have a chair in front of the TV with a coffee table. So, yeah, surely it's emptying, emptying out. So, yeah.
All right. So housekeeping, we are two girls in two different states, but not for very much longer, or at least closer anyway. Yeah. We have two different internets. Do I have a kid? He's going to eat lunch with friends. I'm not sure if he's here. Do have a dog, and he might bark at any point in time. It is springtime, so Scooter could start mowing. You just never know. Okay. Well, he probably needs to. It's to that point. What else? We have a website, which is ozarkshaintsandhooch.weebly.com. We drop episodes on the 1st and the 15th of every month, or we try to do that real close to those dates. We have a Patreon. If you like us and want to hear more of us and hear us on all the platforms, which we are all on, we would love for you to become a hoochie or a haint and give us a little bit of or a lot of money every month. And I think that's right.
Yeah, I think
did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
All right, so I have a drink. I'm doing the drink because Dawn's doing the story this episode. And it is called, people don't care about me, I did not name it. It's called The Angry Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we can call it The Angry Native American if that makes people feel better. I should have done this beforehand. Let me get to it. Because there's a lot of stuff in there. But it's a Dina drink, for all of you that prefer my drinks, it's totally a Dina drink. Okay, here we go. It's safe to do this, but this is the way I made it. I put it over ice in a shaker glass.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier to stir it all together that way. So you take a half ounce of vodka, a half ounce of rum, a half ounce of gin, so tequila, half an ounce of triple sec. You squeeze half an ounce of lime juice over the top of that and top it with a fourth of an ounce of fresh orange juice. Then I shook all that together, poured it into a glass, and topped it with cranberry juice. And it's strong, but it's good. The cranberry juice kind of sweets it, and it's a pretty color.
It's pretty. I didn't use tequila, as Dina knows, because that would make me, like, I'd be heaving through the whole thing.
I used it all.
Well, you know, it's all right. It's totally a Dina drink. It's really strong. I hope I get through my story. It's spring here, too. So if you look at the picture of my drink, those little pink flowers are what my backyard lawn. I mowed a couple of weeks ago, and when I went out to try to find something pretty to put the drink in front of, I was like, oh, look, I've looked out the back door. So I'm directing a play right now. Oh my God. I'm just counting the days. Honestly. Oh, I could go on forever about how different this generation is anyway. So I don't even know what I'm saying. I wrote this on a day that I had time, and that was the last time I looked at it, just about. So,
all right, I'm ready to hear it. Let's go.
Okay, this is a story about, I had never heard of this place before, House Springs, Missouri. House Springs is a small, almost ghost town just southwest of St. Louis. I'll talk about the history and why, and the history. There's a lot of stuff that happened in House Springs, and it is haunted. Evidently, it's one of Missouri's most haunted places. Who knew? And when you hear the history, you'll realize why. I mean, there's so much stuff that happened in this place. There's not, when I was talking to mom about what to draw, I'm like, I don't know, because so many things happened. So anyway,
Yeah. So hey, I'm just gonna add House Springs is by Saint Six Flags in St. Louis.
oh, okay. So see,
So
I mean, I looked at it on a map, but I didn't even make that connection. Okay. So
near Eureka.
back in the day, people used to come from St. Louis to House Springs as a resort. And, there's a small green pool close to the roadside on the north side of Highway MM, and it's the remnant of the springs that flowed across the plain into Heads Creek. The springs are an integral part of the town's history and gave House Springs its name. But as they are now, it's kind of a, and you'll see the picture on the website, like a mossy little pond. And that unfortunately resulted from the development of the property that began about 1990. Paul Taylor, who owned the ground, brought fast food restaurants and a strip mall into town, and in 2008 offered the county 1.5 acres where the spring was located. And so the county took it over, and the area now includes the springs, a retention pond, and a common ground area designed by the Army Corps of Engineers. And the county now places this property under the authority of the Parks Department, which maintains it. But you know, it ain't nothing to look at according to the picture. The location historically is significant, only yards from the springs, where, according to a website, and I guess I should say what websites I Reddit is how I found out about this place, because it was on a subreddit called Unexplained Phenomena. And then the Springfield News Leader did an article about it, so I've got that. And then arnoldmissouri.org, which is probably the only, I mean, House Springs is pretty much a ghost town, so that's the only small town close. And then Ghosts of America. And then there's a Facebook page too. And there's also a YouTube of a woman that did ghost hunting near there, which is worth watching. And we'll put all those links up on the website. But anyway, yards from the spring near where, oh, how do you pronounce this, Dina? Gravois. Gravois.
Boy,
Gravis
Gravois,
Gravois
Gravois. I'm
Road.
pretty sure it's Gravois.
Okay, and that is the name of Highway MM, like mom, and the intersection of a new Highway 30 meet. In that intersection is an ancient Native American burial ground, hence the non-politically correct name of the drink.
Yeah. There's
The
also a Hardee's right next to it because I'm on
Oh, okay.
Google Maps.
Well, that's that dude that built all those fast food restaurants and
Yeah.
screwed up the spring. So, but this Native American burial ground has cist burials, C-I-S-T, that were unearthed in 1940. And cist graves are where a single body is placed in a hole covered with slabs of stone, rather than dirt. And they're characteristics of woodland Indians, says historian Della Lang in her book, A Long Old, what, Gravois?
Gravois, I believe.
Okay. So let's go way back. Okay, so there's been a lot of turnover in this land, and I'm gonna talk about all of this history. Okay, so originally, A pioneer named James Head settled in the House Springs area in 1795, and he's the guy that named Head Creek, right? Which is part of Big River. Nobody knows very much about him. They know that he sold his land to a German immigrant named Adam House, hence the name House Springs, who was lured by its river, natural spring, fertile soil, and abundant sugar maple trees. Mr. House built a cabin near the spring that he said had a current strong enough to turn a mill wheel. Some accounts say that Mr. Head, the original guy, was chased out by the Indians. But when he left that place about 1796, which is even before the Louisiana Purchase, I mean, this is old. Adam House had settled on the property, so they're not really sure about that transaction. They know that the area was a rest stop for Osage Native Americans traveling to St. Louis to trade animal furs. And the Osage were carrying their winter's catch of furs on the way to St. Louis, where they intended to trade their goods for supplies. They stopped by the House family farm to borrow two horses, but were refused by Adam House. So Adam House returns to his sugar maple sugar making, and the Osage return and decide to borrow the horses without him knowing about it. So he follows them to St. Louis and has them arrested. The Osage were determined to get revenge, so upon their release, attacked the House cabin. House was running low on ammunition, so the story goes, so he sends his two children for help. The nearest settlement was 12 miles away, but the children weren't afraid of walking in the woods, so they ran through the forest. So one went to Fenton, and the other went to Kimswick. By sending them in different directions at different times, House hoped the chances of at least one getting through would be greater. One of the children, a boy, 13, and the other, a girl, 14. The settlers from both Fenton and Kimswick raced back to the Adams House home by the spring, but it was too late. The family had been killed and scalped. The Indians then cut the heads of their victim off and placed a lump of sugar maple on them. The head of Adam House was carried to a large elm tree about 50 feet from the house and placed in a tree some 40 feet off the ground to rest on a pedestal. To the Osage, this denoted more than irony. This was supreme sarcasm. The posse realized that they were greatly outnumbered by the Osage, so they decided to abandon their chase for fear of an ambush. According to a statement translated from the original French dated March 19, 1800, I, Pierre Treguet, commandant at somewhere, pursuant to orders from commandant at St. Louis, repaired to the Renault Forks with the few militiamen I could assemble in pursuit of the Indians. On reaching the place, I found an old man dead, head cut off and laid at his side, scalp taken and body full of wounds from musket shots, and a few paces off, a boy 8 or 9 years old, head cut off and lying near him, face smeared with blood, with a small piece of maple sugar in his mouth. No wounds on his body from either musket or knife. A dead cow, one horn carried off, dead calf, head cut off, beds in the house cut to pieces, utensils broken and strewn about the house. Ascertained that the murders had been committed by the Osage, buried the bodies. So that's a French commandant. So that sort of negates the story about putting his head in a tree, right? So who knows? So that right there was a violent end to two people. Okay, there you go for that. The Adams House stood some 50 yards north of the spring. Many years later, a large home was built near this spring by Edward Burgess and his wife, Josephine Cromwell. Oh, get this. And a headless skeleton was unearthed when the basement was being dug. So there's dude, there's Mr. Head.
Yeah.
Funny that his name was Head because he didn't have one. The bones were boxed and buried elsewhere. No one knows the location. The famous elm tree grew to a 5-foot diameter and was towering about the area when the Burgess family decided to remove the dangerous soaring decayed tree. When the word spread that Osage warriors murdered House and his young son, settlers nearby named the area House Spring to honor them. In 1826, when Jefferson Barracks was established about 30 miles from the house, Spring, the U.S. The U.S. Army began to vanquish Native Americans. The vanquishing intensified when Andrew Jackson was elected president in 1828 and instituted the Indian Removal Act of 1830. So that's the act where the U.S. Army just went around and killed all the natives.
Yeah.
In 1837, Cornelius H. Demery moved from Kentucky to buy House Spring land parcels. He became Jefferson County's first postmaster and a merchant with his general store, Demery and Company. Mr. Demery hoped he would get rich by creating a town, but he bankrupted in 1857, forcing the sale of his land on the Jefferson County's courthouse steps. Early pioneer Patrick Byrne of Byrne's Mill handled Demery's estate. The building was originally a log structure completed circa 1837. And when you guys look at the picture of the Demery house, you'll see it has three sections. So the middle section is the original log structure that we're talking about right now. Mr. Demery lived on the several acre plot with his family until his death in 1857. By 1860, the property was auctioned off in parcels by Dr. George Smith, who marketed the plots of the town of Demery, claiming that there were already 15 buildings in the town. Ginger Bricky, senior genealogy clerk at the Northwest branch of the Jefferson County Library, whose family dates to about 1800, notes that in 1860, this English-born physician, George A. Smith, purchases the property from Demery's estate. That year, Smith renames the house Spring Village Demery, platting along the west side of what is now State Route MN. Bricky says, Dr. Smith really oversold the place. He boasted about building a gravel road all the way to St. Louis and making Demery a new Jefferson County seat, but none of that happened. The gravel roadway Dr. Smith envisioned is now Missouri Route 30. According to the Missouri Preservation, Cornelius Demery's house was built in House Spring near Main Street and State Route MN. Okay. According to the probate records at the time, the buildings included the dwelling, a stable, a blacksmith shop, and several well houses. Eventually, the Demery family disappears from the area and the town was renamed for the House family, House Springs. Over the years, the Demery house was expanded from a cabin to a two-story center hall with a column two-story gallery extending the entire length of the house's principal facade. So they just put another house on top. Okay. All right. Then, so we're going to progress to the Civil War. So St. Louis and across the state in western Missouri was bushwhacker and jayhawker territory. Jayhawkers typically were centered in Kansas, and the bushwhackers were typically centered around Kansas City in that area. But they did go, because they were rebels, I mean, they were kind of like the ball knobbers, right? After the Civil War, they're supposed to protect people, but they turn bad, right? So it's hard to know how many of them were around Jefferson County. Civil War guerrillas were generally not enlisted in military forces, but sympathized with one cause or the other. And I should know this. I should know if bushwhackers were Confederate, who, what was what? Because one of them was Confederate.
Confederate, right?
I don't know. Bushwhackers and Jayhawkers. Sorry, I don't know that. The graveyard nearest to House Springs is called St. Martin's United Church of Christ in High Ridge, and it opened in 1869, 4 years after the war ended. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that after the Civil War, Main Street in House Springs became lined with stores, a tavern, and a grocery store. The old building sits in line with some of the oldest buildings in Jefferson County. The original two-story frame building that you see in the center, became the mercantile store of J.E.C. Wilson. I believe there was a wing built on that became a tavern called Votaw's Saloon that supposedly dates pre-Civil War, and its bricks were allegedly made by slaves in the area. There's also a blacksmith shop, which I think is on the other side, as well as a grocery store called Valentine Light General Store. Light Mercantile Company and the Garden of Eva, I think that's great, were also historic general stores in House Springs. So between all the Civil War skirmishes, right, and that violence and death, right, and then this town is expanding and this building is expanding. Okay. So a huge fire on October 14th, 1940, totally destroys the Charles Boehmler store in House Springs, burning down the store, the post office, and a funeral parlor, likely containing caskets of dead people. So there's some more tragedy.
No, yeah.
Yet the news of the fire and charred caskets was eclipsed by news that an ancient Native American burial ground with assist graves was found. A longtime local residents whose two great-grandmothers were Native Americans reported that a large camp of Indians lived along the Big River in the early 1800s. That area beside the Big River was rich in Native artifacts. Okay. The name of the road that runs along Heads Creek near the spring was changed to Indian Springs. All right. Again, this Brickley, Ginger Brickley, there were definitely many historic tragedies and killings in this area. And if there are stories of hauntings and ghosts going back in history, it would not be surprising. So I'm going to get to those stories in a minute. But now the spring still flows, but the course of the spring has been rerouted through pipes underground. The county says very little can be done with the grounds because it has now become a wetland, which you'll see in this picture, preserved in a federal program in exchange for changes made to another wetland during the development of the property. The spring area is not the type of property the Parks Department usually works with, but they're doing the best they can, says Mike Ginger, director of Jefferson County's Park Department. He says, they told us it's a wetland, just let it grow. It's planted with wetland flora and it's not supposed to be mowed. But soon complaints came in, because of course they did, and park personnel were instructed to mow the property. So they did, and a bench and birdhouse adorn the lawn, and ducks light around the water. And so it's in a, you'll see in the picture, it's like right between two roads, you know? It's not even very pretty. Yeah. Let's see. This guy Leroy Luck, who's lived in the area since 1969, said the spring used to flow into Heads Creek about the same location where a bridge crosses the creek on Highway 30. He had two great grandmothers who were Native Americans, said a large camp of Indians. Yeah, that guy. He said that the road was named Indian Springs in 2012 because the Indians deserve a little credit for that place. So that's the history. And you can see there's a whole lot of violence and death and, you know, and the town is all abandoned and stuff. If you watch that YouTube, she walks around the town. Okay, so these are all stories from a website called Ghosts of America. And man, people absolutely talk about this place. Like, so let me read some of these stories.
Righty.
After I take a sip of this very strong drink. Okay. This person said, I live in House Springs Heights and we have a lot that goes on up here. Our house backs up to the valley with the lake behind us. Have heard about an Indian massacre where the lake sits, and you can sit out on my deck and hear faintly an Indian flute being played or faint yelling and screaming. That's cool.
Right.
Also seeing black figures out of the corner of my eye. I call them shadow people. And someone likes to run real fast and loud up our basement stairs when our door is shut, just to bang really loud on it, then turn and run back down the steps. Yikes.
Right.
As she goes on, doors closing and opening. I have three dogs, and they sometimes stop what they're doing and look at a spot in the room. My neighbor across the street also has stories, and sometimes I sit on my front porch and her garage light goes on for no reason. I ask her about it, and she says it wasn't her. Happens all the time. With all that goes on, whatever it is never malicious, and I talk to them, so call me crazy. I don't care. But if I'm going to have them here, might as well make the best of it. I think so, too. If they're going to be around, can't get rid of them. She says, oh, and things go missing around the house, too, like it is a game because it pops up somewhere else always, all the time. And her name is Jennifer. Okay, so this is Rick. I used to live in an old two-story white house just off Gravois Road. It was close to Keith's Muffler Shop. I don't know. I hear it's been torn down, but I've got some stories for you. Have you any info on that house? Have you heard of it? And that's by Rick. And then a person comments to him, my aunt also lived in that house owned by Keith Bruce, and I believe it was haunted. If I remember correctly, there was a window in the bathroom that looked at the original log cabin and not outside. But when you went upstairs, that's when it felt spooky. Okay.
All right.
This person, Danielle, I live in Bear Creek Estates, and there's always unexplained sounds and voices, as well as seeing someone out of the corner of your eye. The latest event was four loud bangs that rattled my neighbor's house. We never found out what it was. On a regular basis, I, as well as my friends that I work for, hear footsteps coming down her hall. And almost every day we hear people talking but can't make out what's being said. A few weeks ago, I was at my mom's waiting for someone to show up, so I was watching for a car and saw a guy walk across her front yard. I went out to catch whoever it was, and no one was there. There's always something going on here. I live off Old Gravois in House Springs. Oh, no. This must be somebody different. I live off Old Gravois and House Springs in the little trailer park. Last night, my cousins, my brothers, and I all used a Ouija board and met a woman named Agme, A-G-M-E. Her spirit is 101 years old. I'm trying to find more information on this woman. Then someone says, you live in Green Acres or Crest Manors? If it's Green Acres, I lived in the house up front and moved right next door to the house. I don't recommend that you use Ouija boards if you don't know what you're doing. That's what they say. She goes on.
That's just always don't do that, right?
Yeah. Although I had one as a kid. But anyway, this person goes on to say, you certainly can bring something in that's evil that pretends to be nice. I know it sounds psycho, but I believe more in spiritual stuff. There's a devil. Okay. All right. This is the last story. Myself and my family recently rented a small house on Leona Lane in House Springs. Since renting the house, we've come across bones in the side yard. I know strange things are happening. To look for this house on the internet, I cannot find anything. Here's another one. Sorry. I lived on John McKeever Road from age 13 to 15. I built a room in the basement with my father, and after a few months, I began waking up at night at least three times, feeling as if I was being strangled. I thought nothing of it until I walked into the basement bathroom near the entrance to the attached garage and saw red handprints on my neck.
No, thank you.
No, I believe that something terrible happened here and it's not recorded. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, man, what a hotbed of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think any time.
For sure.
Yeah, that much violence in one place. Who knows?
Yeah.
doing all that stuff. It could be anything. And this YouTube, which I just noticed, I did not, maybe I put it on the extra document, but this YouTube, she has a, oh, Dina, I looked at them. They're expensive, but she has this thing that's an, like your thing that lights up, but it's bigger. Anyway, it just goes off all the time. So
I really need to learn how to use my thing that they got me. The one, what is it? The
is it the EMF? It's an EMF, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I have one of those and I kind of know how to use that. It's the other one. It's the recorder thing that I really need to learn how to.
She has one of those too, but on her phone. But this is a round thing that sits and it has various lights. And so I know and oh, light the purple one up, light the green one up.
Is it a RIM pod? Is it a RIM pod? Thank you, Ghost Hunters.
Okay. They're expensive.
I know what that is.
I looked at
it.
Yeah. So anyway, South Springs, Missouri. Who knew? I didn't.
I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it.
You wanted, though?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know it was there. I mean, I don't know. I might have heard of House Springs, but no, I did not know that it was haunted.
Okay.
I think that there's a lot of places like that in everywhere, honestly.
Oh, parts for sure. Yeah. That's why we have a.
That's why we're here. I'm back down in the dressing room at Shepherd of the Hills, and sometimes by myself. On the first day that I was down there, did I tell this story already? I was sitting at my desk, and when you're at my desk, it is a straight shot to the costume room, to the corner of the costume room and the men's dressing room. There's like three doors, or four doorways right there. So Peyton had called me, and I had her on speakerphone, and I was talking to her, and out of the corner of my eye, I was down there by myself, I saw a black figure move from the costume room into the dressing room.
Well, you told me.
And I was like, oh, Peyton. And I told her, and she was like, fun. And I was not fun. I'm here by myself. It's not fun.
And then I told you it was probably just, what's her name? Not Lizzie. The Tremble girl.
Yeah, Shelly.
Shelly. Yep.
I don't know. Or Mike Jr. I still believe that he's there.
Oh, could be him too, yeah. If you all are interested, watch this YouTube and that ghost, the one with all the stories on it, Ghosts of America, that seemed to be pretty active. So if you know anything about it, you might want to go post on there. So
yeah. Or post on any of our sites, our Instagram, our Facebook, or you can go to the website and leave us messages there too. If you know anything about it, we'd love to hear your stories too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, Dawn, thanks. That was a good one. And we'll say
goodbye.
And remember,
if you liked it, tell all your friends.
But if you didn't,
keep your big mouth shut.